is up. It is me, George G. Got another awesome episode of the Aligned Money Show coming your way featuring Eric Brenner. Eric is a CFP. He is the CEO and president, founding partner at Hilltop Wealth Strategies. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. We then got into how people are thinking about AI, the questions that they are asking most, their biggest concerns, where they're looking for opportunity. We talked about risk tolerance and how to help people really get down to beyond surface level conversations about it to what would it feel like if, how will you respond when, and how that really goes on to inform the best approach for somebody when they are investing. We talked about designing retirement income, the impact that taxes have, and what to do about it. And then, of course, we closed with a great difference-making tip. I know you're going to love it. Let's go. Eric, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
Yeah, so two truths are I raced go-karts back in my day.
Okay.
That topped out at 80, 90 miles an hour. I also played college football. And I also was at one point had a mullet back in the 80s.
Wow. That's amazing. Playing college football, racing cars with a mullet. Let's go, buddy.
You bet. You bet. A little bit of a mixture there, huh?
I hope they're all true. I hope that they're all true. College football. Why not? Mullet for sure. I'm going to guess you didn't play college football.
That is correct. Very good. Wow.
Tell me about the mullet.
Yeah, back in the 80s, you know, just kind of fell the way and had a little bit of that mullet and loved the 80s music. And, you know, and if I would have been able to look ahead in the future, I would say I'm happy because it seems like as I get older, the less the hair goes. So it was a fun time for sure.
Yeah, I think that that's great. And you were driving go-karts way too fast.
I was, yeah. I mean, I am a pretty good size, and I did play high school football. Wanted to play college football until I got hurt, and but I always liked racing, always liked kart, and it was a way to get into racing, and it did a bunch of street racing and stuff like that. That was really fun as well back in the day.
You know what? Is that responsible behavior? Eric, were you?
You know, it was. I mean, it was all certainly, you know, we all wore helmets and, you know, it was all organized racing. So it was either on go-kart tracks or street racing. Yep. Right. And so towns would, you know, block off the streets and we'd race them.
Very cool. All right. Well, we're off to a good start, sir. What's top of mind for you right now?
Yeah, I mean, top of mind for me, I think, you know, with what I do, I'm talking a lot about AI and technology. So, you know, it comes top of mind probably because I would say that would be the biggest discussion that clients are asking me about or we are talking about.
And what's the context? Is it going to destroy humanity?
The context is around... is it sustainable? You know, many people lived through the bubble burst, tech bubble burst back in the late 90s. You know, what does it mean? What does it mean to me? What does it mean in my portfolios and for my accounts? And so, and then as I think about it in running a business as well, how to integrate, how to utilize technology. So it's definitely an everyday, you know, many times a day discussion or thought.
And do you enjoy technology? Does it come natural? Is this against the grain?
I like technology. I would say that I'm not that technology savvy. I mean, I'm pretty technology savvy. And I do like technology. And I am a believer in, you know, if we can make things more efficient, we certainly should do that. And it's kind of cool as to, especially as it relates to AI and the capabilities that it has, is pretty exciting.
Yeah. I feel like we're just scratching the surface. So are your clients, were probably just curious about your take on it? Are they worried about a bubble? Are they just trying to pick winners? Is it just general?
Yeah, I would say, you know, a lot of times, I mean, people are always worried about, you know, when's the next drop coming? When's the next recession? So, you know, there tends to be a worry about that no matter what. But, you know, around the questions on, again, what does it mean to me as an investor? You know, do we own something that's, you know, in this wave? You know, how do you see it, you know, from a standpoint of affecting the markets and the economy? It's actually been fairly positive, and we've probably gotten a lot of people more interested in, you know, people getting on ChatGPT and those kinds of things that maybe they, you know, they haven't up to this point. So it's actually been a really good discussion, especially for those that put that, you know, that in that end of the 90s and the, you know, when things blew up from a tech perspective, although much different situation, those companies didn't have any money really. It was a whole different. So this time is, you know, a pretty exciting time for, I think, for us in general, but also, you know, for us in investing and, you know, making sure we're doing the right thing as it relates to the portfolios.
Do you see people, well, that's maybe just kind of a general question. Are people more interested in having hands-on and using tools to do their own investing? Has hasn't changed that one way or another?
No, I don't think. I mean, if we're talking about AI or technology in general, it really hasn't changed that much that I see. And I think it's a couple reasons. One, things are much more complex than they are today, than they are even a decade ago. So people's situation are much more complex. You know, we tend to work with those people that are also not do-it-yourselfers. They really look to us as, you know, you need to guide us. And many of the clients we work with, they would have the capability of doing some research, you know, buying some of the investments themselves, but, you know, they're busy in their careers. They're often professionals, business owners. And so they just don't have the time. And they realize that if they don't have the time to spend in it, they're probably not the best to do it. So it's better to turn it over to someone that, you know, has a specialty in it. And so I think that's overall what it is. I think some people, yeah, do it yourselfers, it's only going to help. But again, you need to be real careful with, you know, AI and kind of what it kicks out. Just because it kicks out, it doesn't kick out all the time exact right answers. So I wouldn't want people really, you know, doing a lot of stock picking and investing just based on what ChatGPT says.
Yeah. Take everything with a grain of salt, especially Correct. This magical new being that is artificial intelligence. So,
yeah, exactly.
In terms of what is your approach to investing? Are you picking individual stocks? Is it passive?
Yeah. So our approach is, you know, with a client first to really an understanding of what their risk tolerance is and really bearing down to the risk tolerance. And then how we go about it is we have a core portfolio that is an active managed portfolio. And those decisions are based on how we come about. Those models are based on what's called a quantitative process, a data-driven process, where thousands of data sets go into the decision-making. And what that core then allows us to do, if we need to make some shifts based on data, less risk, more risk, you know, we're doing that not just based on kind of how we feel or how we see the market. And so we always say we want to have that workhorse. You want to have that core portfolio that's the workhorse for you. It'll be there in the long term. And then you want to make adjustments according to the data, which we do for clients. And then often we'll layer it in with a individual stock layering that will help clients get just a bit more. It's designed to just get a little bit more out of the portfolio, but not put, you know, all of your life savings at risk. And it helps what we in the industry call alpha. So it helps drive a little bit more on the top side. You know, you can certainly have some good runs in there. And so when we combine the two, we find that, you know, good workhorse portfolio with topside opportunity, you know, produces an overall target return that, you know, can be satisfactory for someone to, you know, have do what they want to do when the time comes.
Do most people have a good idea of what their risk, what risk tolerance is, and how well do they understand themselves typically?
I would say most do, but what you have to do is you have to get them to think about, okay, what does it mean to be a moderate risk? You can say moderate and they think, you know, they're down the road, but we do a little more in depth of moderate really means, you know, during 2008, 2009, this is how much your account would have gone down. You know, during that period, would you want to sell? Would you hold on? You know, those kinds of questions then help dig more into that to make sure that they really are, you know, kind of what they feel they are. Because it's so broad. Are you moderate? Okay, what does that really mean? So I think the question is, it's kind of they have an understanding, like I'm not a big risk taker. But on the other hand, we need to dig deeper and say, well, this is really what this risk tolerance means. And after all those questions, are you still comfortable?
That makes sense. You know, you hear how the pain of loss is twice as strong as the potential for gain. And it sounds like that's part of that conversation is put yourself in the shoes of the 2008 and your portfolio goes down by 40%. Is that acceptable?
Right, right. Yeah, and part of quantitative process is to, you know, we want to make money when things are good and you want to be more invested, right, within your risk tolerance. But it's also helping protect, you know, on how much you don't lose. So, you know, that's really, really important. And so we call it the big boy way of investing, you know, these large institution funds, pension funds, right? You know, they just don't, you know, just go guess stocks all day long. You know, they'll have a core process, right, that uses often quantitative research and data. Realize, right, having these large funds that, you know, we want to make money, but also we have to protect, you know, to make sure that it doesn't go down as far. And so through that process, you know, people, I think, can be assured that that doesn't mean you're not going to lose money in periods of time, but you're not going to go down as far. And they also know that it is a fairly active strategy so that it's not something that's just set it and forget it. They know that you know, there's reasoning behind changes and decisions that we make.
I appreciate that. And I'm sure that people are selecting you because they feel like you are the firm, you're the guy that's going to help them to realize all their financial goals and objectives and all that good stuff. And having the confidence that you have a very defined process and it's been very thought out and tested, I'm sure that that inspires a lot of confidence.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And, you know, the other thing we do, because we're really a comprehensive planning firm that integrates tax and, you know, we really specialize kind of in the pre-retired and then the retired market. So it gets to a point where return is important, you know, but it's not the most important because they need to figure out where to take money and why, how is it taxed? You know, there's other things that are, I think, just as important to them. And the complexity, as I had stated earlier, has just gotten greater and greater. So we certainly want to get a very, you know, return based on their risk tolerance. But if you're not paying attention to the other stuff as well, right, you know, there can be some real penalties with that. In higher taxes and other things.
Did I read that you did your first tax return when you were like a teenager?
Yeah, I grew up in a family business, and so when I, you know, when I had a day off of school, and I wasn't playing football or sports, I mean, I would go to work with my dad, and so I filed, you know, I was, you know, he was paying me at a pretty young age, and so I filed a tax return, you know, at a pretty young age, and has always been kind of in the work habit side. So that is true.
And did you always know that you were going to, when you made the decision to start your firm, did you always know that you were going to include tax as well?
No, we really didn't. You know, I started, I've been, this is my 32nd year of doing this. And so when we started, it was just more investment. I think there were 4,000 mutual funds on the market. It was just, and it was more just product. So we did planning, but it was also product based. And you know, as the years have gone on and the complexity has gotten to the point, you know, one of the things in our business that is, you know, can get complex now is that we, you know, people didn't have even 25 years ago was the size of retirement accounts. So the way that we've changed from defined benefit plans to defined contribution plans, people now have assets and they have accounts. And they're obviously now at the stage, many of them, that they're going to have to start taking from them. And they're of size that now there's complexity there. And that's just one area. So several years ago, we decided that, you know, taxes is so integrated and many firms can't really talk about taxes, that we wanted to make sure that we were fully integrated and we don't hide behind it. And so we help people through all of that, in those decisions from a tax perspective. You know, we find that, for many people, healthcare costs is not their biggest expense in retirement. Now, if they needed assisted living or something, you know, at some point, that certainly can add up very quick. But oftentimes it's taxes. And the idea of, you know, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket in retirement may not be true. And many of our clients are, it is not true. They are making more than, which is great because they got there, but they're, you know, their taxes are more now than it was when they were working.
Which is, I'm sure, not super exciting.
No, it's not. I mean, it kind of, it's nice to have the income, but you know, there was kind of, you know, save it pre-tax, deduct it because you're going to be in a lower tax bracket. But it's kind of created that beast in many ways that, okay, now how are you going to get the money out?
That is a beast to be certain. You know, it's interesting. And you're working with clients on both sides, the pre-retirement and then the actual retirement. And, you know, I've read books and they talk about it's so frustrating for clients because if you went and ask 100 financial advisors how to design retirement income, you probably get 100 different answers. Why is it so complicated?
It is true. I mean, you can get there multiple different ways, right? And so I think some of it is that it is different. I mean, people have a view on, you know, should I save it here today, you know, and save tax versus not, because we really don't know the future, right? And then other people have the view on, we know what it is today. We know what tax brackets are. We know, and we don't know what the future is. And, you know, you know, does it go up? The tax brackets and taxes go up in the future. So there's many ways to cut it. The other part about it is that there's so much more solutions and product. And unfortunately, a lot of times people pick or get advised to a product and not a strategy. And so I think that's a big part of it. It really is individualistic. So it's individual depending on the client. That's another reason there's just not a blanket, you know, if you're this age, your income, your assets, it's not necessarily blanketed across that way. And our industry probably has made it somewhat more complex. But again, if you have, you're able to choose the assets, choose the investments, and all of that, where the generation prior or the generation prior to that really didn't have that much in investable assets. Many of them had pensions, Social Security, they retired. you know, they had two choices. One choice was when to take Social Security. And the second choice is when they chose their pension, do they leave something to their spouse? That's it. And they make those choices, they're done. They didn't have to manage a bucket of money. They didn't have to worry about it. Social Security was much less. And I know it's adjusted for inflation, but people are often extremely surprised at how much benefit there is now. I'm talking yearly benefit in Social Security. So, you know, we have clients that are drawing Social Security and they're at, you know, they're drawing $100,000 a year between the two of them in just Social Security. So it's real. It's what I call not grandma's Social Security anymore. It's not $900 a month. So if people have paid in, so all of those complexities has happened over the last couple decades. And I don't see it stopping because this is the way that, you know, the way that we are and the way people are saving and investing and responsible for their own futures.
So interesting. It just wasn't that long ago that everybody had a pension, and then Social Security planning, I perceive, was a lot more complicated. I think that they did away with a lot of the rules and the decisions that one could make. So totally different. And why would people expect it to be easy? I think most people that you work with are probably proud of their individual situation and everything that they've worked to accomplish. So why would they want some cookie cutter solution?
Correct. Correct. And then it comes into, you know, is there family involved? Do you want to leave money? Don't you, you know, your filing status, you know, married, not, you know, second marriages come into play. How do you divide assets? And, you know, all of those things kind of come into play. Therefore, you know, just a cookie cutter situation just doesn't really, is not the most beneficial for their planning purposes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Eric, you've already given us a lot, but we're ready for that difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
Well, I think that the difference-making tip is the fact that I think about having someone really think through, you know, their situation. I often hear, well, I don't have enough, or, you know, do I qualify, or, you know, these kinds of things. And the difference-making tip is, I have seen people from, you know, making, having a good career and making kind of what, you know, kind of a middle income life, right? Salaries and so forth, that have become a multimillionaire. And I've seen people that have high income, you know, should be able to save, right? And have challenges with it. So it's not how much you really make necessarily. It's what you do with what you have. And you all can, everyone that's listening to the podcast, right, in their own situation can be financially successful. You just have to make it happen.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets it. Come on. It's all possible. It's within your control. Just got to make it happen. Love it. Yeah. Well, Eric, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you?
Yeah, thanks. So I did write a book. And so I'd love to be able to give everybody that's listening to the podcast a free copy of the book. You can download it. You can go to our website. That's hilltopwealthtax.com/podcast. So it's hilltopwealthtax.com/podcast. And on there, they'll be able to get a free copy. If they do want to find out more, we have a 15-minute introductory call that you can schedule right on the site. You'll be introduced with one of our team members. They'll find out more about you. You find out a little bit more about us. There's really no commitment on either side. And then if we think maybe there's a match, at least to talk to one of the advisors, one of our wealth advisors, we would connect you with that. And, you know, we'd love to talk with you. And I think the book really talks a lot, you know, what we've talked about and even more on things to think about, you know, as you continue down the financial journey.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Eric your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to hilltopwealthtax.com/podcast and download your free copy of Eric's book and build on and learn more about what we've been talking about today. And then grab a spot on the calendar, 15 minutes, see if what they're doing is a good fit and what you're doing makes sense for them. See if it's a good fit for both. Thanks again, Eric.
Hey, thank you so much.
Finally, friendly reminder, like Eric just said, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success than you are. So act accordingly.